So in many episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, we've spoken about why maybe to move to Portugal or why maybe even to think about Braga. But in this episode, let's talk about why not to move to Braga. Roll that intro. Hello there, I'm Rafael DiFuri, and welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. In many episodes of this podcast, we've spoken about some of the wonderful things about this country and what it can offer to people, and I always like to keep things a bit balanced, and even the past couple of weeks I've been focusing on some of the realities. And so let's focus a little bit more specifically on some of the realities that one might find in Braga, and some of the things that could be found that might be a living hell for one person might be another person's dreams. So this is something to take into consideration, so take anything that I'm saying in this episode with a grain of salt, and you will definitely need to experience it for yourself, just like anywhere else on earth. But the first thing that I will say is that for people who are maybe on the single side and not university age, this might not necessarily be the perfect place to come to. I can say, as somebody in his early 30s who is single, that there are definitely better places to be. And while I could just leave it at that, I will say that if you are in maybe the cities or something, that could be a little bit more ideal. But in a place like Braga, while it is wonderful, if you're not in the university or you don't move here with your partner, then you may find things at times slightly isolating. I know plenty of people here who do love living here, but I can say the people that I know who really enjoy it more so are those who came here with a wife, with a husband, with a partner, with whatever, somebody in their life that is there with them. But the people who I know who end up being on the more single side end up having a repeated thought that I've heard from multiple people completely separate that don't know each other, that they are ready to maybe move to a place like Porto. But of course, you have to consider in Porto, or even Lisbon, that things are a bit more expensive. But this actually kind of takes me into my next point, because we've spoken about it in many episodes, is that here in Portugal, the cost of living has been going up. But I just read something quite recently that the costs have been kind of normalizing and equalizing. And even in a city like Lisbon, the prices have started going down for cost of living, at least when we're talking about apartments. But in Braga, they have gone up by 1.6%. So we don't need to go into the details about when and how long and all of this and that. But it is interesting to see that Lisbon is starting to go down while Braga is not quite headed that direction, at least not yet. So if you are looking for cheap housing, this could be one place that might not be the most ideal. You can find housing that is maybe low cost in comparison to other places that you've lived, but it might not be as cheap as what you may have imagined coming to this country would be like. So talking about living, if you're looking for a place where you're right next to the ocean, Braga is definitely not it. Just a little bit north of Braga, there is a kind of large river that you can go, and there's some river beaches there, but we're not on the ocean here. If you do want to drive, you've got like, what, half an hour, like maybe 40 plus minutes to get to the ocean by car. If you're trying to go by public transportation, it's a whole different story. But I will say for the river beaches, you can find public transportation to get out there, or even if you wanted to get like an Uber or something. I mean, getting back, that might be a little bit of a problem just because it's a little bit further out of the city, but not that it's impossible. And everybody has their thing that they like to do, because so you might not be the type of person who's looking for outdoorsy stuff, or maybe not at least at the beach. And if you want to get up into the mountains and do a little bit of hiking, there are some mountains around Braga where you can go and do that, or you can get a little bit outside of the city and have some beautiful countryside around you. But one other factor that you could take into consideration if you're the type of person that really enjoys getting out in the evenings and really going and partying and all that kind of stuff, totally not my thing. Clubbing here, if you're the type of person that enjoys going to discos and clubs, it might not be the most ideal for that. While I've been to some of the clubs here, I haven't been to all of them, and I won't even get into my opinions on clubs in this episode, but you do have a feeling when you go in that it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but in small town Europe, and Braga is not necessarily a small town, it's a small city. It feels like going into a club that's in a small town, like a small town bar in a way. Even at some of the places that are kind of a little bit kind of larger, at least the ones that I've been to, there are a couple that I haven't been to and maybe they're a little bit larger city feeling, but if you're looking for a lot of nightlife, then Braga might not be the perfect place. Not that there's no nightlife here, but if you are somebody who really, really needs that, then Porto would be a much better choice. Even Lisbon would be a much better choice. But if you are the type of person who is looking for kind of afternoon activities, there's plenty to do. And even to go out if you want to go to a show. Or, I mean, we have a couple of different performance halls here. There's one where there's actually some major names that come through to the city. There's another that maybe some not as major names come through, but it's you'll have like concerts and so on. But this kind of gets into another point. If you're the type of person that needs to have live music all around and all the time and so many options for different things, you can find some. But if you're into maybe stuff that's a little bit more out there, could be a little bit more difficult to find here. But also, just to bring it back to outdoor activities, if you're the type of person who really needs to be in the outdoors, Northern Portugal might not be the most ideal for part of the year. You're going to have a lot of rain, or it can be. I'm not going to say you're always going to, but the north of Portugal is known to have a bit of rain, and you can have a bit of rain and it can get pretty cloudy. It's not going to always be like that. Although, for example, last year, it was a bit unusual from what I'm told. We had basically from September till February, almost straight rain. Like, you could probably count the amount of days that we didn't have rain on a hand, barely two. So if you've been promised that Portugal has 300 days of sunshine, Portugal might not exactly be that place that you're looking for, or at least not northern Portugal. But how is it that you're going to be able to pay for all of these things? As I've said in many episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, my recommendation is always, if you can figure out a way of working remotely, that's going to be the most ideal. You're going to find more options for helping to support yourself than you might in some countries in Southern Europe. And I'm not specifically saying about Portugal here, but if you are looking for work in English specifically, Braga might not be the best option for that. You might be able to find some jobs at some of the companies here that might offer a position or a couple of positions, but it's going to be very few and far between. And I can say I know a fair amount of people here, and out of those people here, out of the people who are working, I only know two who've gotten work in English just because one was highly qualified for a certain position and then the other is a native English speaker to be able to teach English. So those are kind of the situations you might find yourself in. And if you are an English teacher, I think there are countries and other parts of the world where you can go and make more money. But again, being an English teacher, this is something you can do online now. So why not try to see if you can make that work for yourself and then figure out if you can kind of get the cost of living part down to cover a life here in Portugal. But if you are going to be looking for work, then you are going to need something to be able to get yourself to and from. Braga has some public transportation. I'm not going to say it has the best public transportation, and I've heard a lot of people complaining about it. Although I will say it's better than some places I've lived. It's not ideal for a lot of situations. There might be one bus in an hour, maybe two buses in an hour. If it's a more frequent route, maybe a few, but you're not going to have a ton of options in most cases. And in the whole city, there's quite a few lines, but again, frequency is the big question there. But if you're planning on owning your own car, there's one really, really, really big thing to take into consideration, and that is the amount of parking, or maybe rather the lack thereof. And Braga can be a tough place to find parking, especially in the center of the city. If you're a little further out, maybe you'll have more luck, but not all apartment buildings will come with parking spaces. Not all come with private parking, whether it's on the street or whether it's underground. In the center of the city, there are a few underground parking lots or quasi-underground parking lots. There's a couple from the city, and then there's, I think, one or two private parking lots. But one of the reasons why I don't own a car and why I'm not really going to try and get a license or anything is because it would actually make my life more complicated living in Braga to have a car than not to have a car. I mean, even the cost of maintaining a car here, I can say if I need to get around, like the few times that I would actually even potentially need a car, it's less expensive over the cost of a year for me to use Uber than it is for how infrequently I would use a car. And that can go for people who are living outside of the center as well as in the center, because again, Braga is not that huge. I know people who live in places that I would say are definitely not the center, but still often will walk to the center if they're going to do any type of activity or social gathering here in the center where I am right now. But maybe one of the biggest concerns for some people is actually not just getting around, say, by vehicle, but actually being able to get around in the streets. I mean, this is probably not the best example of what I'm going to be talking about. This is actually probably one of the more flat streets, and you can't really tell in this video, but it kind of curves up on the side a little bit because this is actually running uphill. This is like the main pedestrian walkway behind me. The street that I'm on intersects with the main kind of pedestrian walkway here. But even this is not totally flat, and not all of the stones kind of perfectly line up with each other. And So what I'm talking about is accessibility. People who maybe have mobility issues, whether they are needing assistance with walking or they're in a wheelchair, you might in certain situations have difficulties. I mean, even there are certain stores that you need to go into or certain buildings, and you have like a small step or a couple steps to get up in there without any ramps. There's even places that I've seen that maybe might have a ramp, but it's old and bent out of shape and it completely unusable. Like, it almost defeats the purpose of having a ramp there. It actually is probably more of an impedance than a help to anybody, regardless of their mobility abilities. And so even if you are looking to rent an apartment, not all buildings will have an elevator. Not all buildings don't have stairs. Some do, but I would say it's maybe a little less frequent that you'll have more accessible locations. Not to say that a majority have or don't have elevators, but for the buildings that do have elevators, you may run into something where the elevators are actually quite small and the ability to fit a person with a wheelchair in there could depend. I think it could work. I mean, it will really depend on the size of the wheelchair or if you're using any type of electric assistance. Rascals and all those kinds of like little buggies are definitely not a thing out here. Sometimes you might see like an attachment on the front of a wheelchair. But the issue I'm really kind of talking about here is that not all elevators, especially in some of the older buildings or the older new buildings, will have a problem sometimes with the elevator where they won't perfectly match the level of the elevator and the level of the floor you're on. Sometimes you can have a little bit of a gap, sometimes no gap, and it might not even always be the same. Sometimes one might be higher than the other and you have a little step down or a little step up that you have to make sure you don't trip over. This is not, I'm going to say, uncommon or unheard of, but it's also maybe not necessarily going to be the norm. But one thing that can be the norm is not to have an elevator where the doors automatically open. It's quite common to have an elevator where maybe you have an inner door that opens automatically or folds, and then you have another one that you have to manually swing open. So if you're on your own and having a little bit of difficulty with mobility, then that could prove to be a little bit of an issue if you're stuck on the inside or outside and trying to open a heavy door. And then also, especially if it's not perfectly matched up with the level. And even for someone who doesn't have mobility issues, I've heard of people getting stuck in these elevators, having not really given the elevator enough time to kind of do exactly what it needs to do to think that it's finished, at least. And this last point, for some may be huge, for some may be absolutely nothing, but I do feel as though most of the conversations that I'm kind of in a group setting here or end up overhearing in a group setting here have something to do with the search for Mexican food. In Braga, I can't say there's a great international food scene, like a lively international food scene. You can get some things from certain parts of the world, but I'm going to say that even the Mexican place that I mentioned in a number of videos ago, where I was very happy that I found them, they were doing burritos and this and that and the other. Now they're only doing tacos, and I'm more of a burrito fan than a taco fan. And so even though I can live without Mexican food or even settling for Tex-Mex, if I'm looking for, say, like I've mentioned before in other episodes, Middle Eastern food or even Asian food, options are going to be limited and they're not necessarily going to be the best. There are some places that are decent, at least for Asian, but I've also had maybe some of the worst Asian food here in my life that I've just like even noodles that tasted like cardboard, beef that tasted like leather, and the flavors just were completely off. And I've even talked to one owner of a place not very far from here, actually just around the corner from where I'm standing right now, who's got a sushi place. But what they had to do was modify their flavors a bit to kind of suit the Portuguese palate. And I definitely don't blame them for that. When you own a business like that, it's a grind. You have to make sure that you stay appealing to as many people as possible. So I can say I've seen things here like sushi that has foie gras on top of it. Personally, not my thing, but there are people out there that are into it. I prefer more traditional style sushi where it's just fish. And so they do have that as an option on their menu, that do you want the more traditional style or do you want the kind of more fusion style? And if you are wanting even, say, burgers, I'd say you can find places that are all right here. There's not like, oh my gosh, the most amazing burgers, but some of the better ones that I've actually had outside of the States, not perfect, definitely towards the top of the list, but there's also some of the worst burgers that I've ever had have been here in Prague as well, at least outside of the US. But if you are someone who is open to trying Portuguese cuisine, then you can go wild here and find a lot of really, really amazing foods. But Portuguese cuisine doesn't quite appeal to everybody. That's kind of a personal thing at the end of the day. But while I'm talking about the end of the day, I think I may as well round out to the end of this video. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Of course, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Thank you all so much for the support that helps this project keep on going through Patreon on a monthly basis, or through the one-time thanks button here on YouTube, or through rafaeldifuria.com/support. Thank you also very, very much also for sharing these episodes. That really does help the channel as well. And of course, if you're living here in Braga, have anything to add, feel free to leave that down in the comment section below. Or if you have any questions about living in Portugal or life abroad, feel free to leave that down there as well. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I will see you all next time. Later.